I want to welcome everybody who's here this morning. Glad to have you with us. Glad to have those of you who are on our social media platforms. Welcome there, whether you're on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. Be sure to heart, like, share, subscribe, follow us, retweet, do all those things so it helps to get the word out to all of your friends in your circles that you have there on each one of those platforms. Welcome to those who are on our phone live streaming also. That's a free service that'll automatically call you if you don't have internet service, or maybe you're traveling and you don't have the internet with you. You can also listen to on that phone live streaming. If you want that number, please see me after the service or call the church office during the week. We'll be glad to give that to you. If you're at home and you have access to our church website, we want to encourage you to go to highlandbaptistchurch.com. It's over under the info tab, just a couple of tabs over, that you can download the worship bulletin for today. Those are in the windowsills and at the doors if you need those here in person. We've also got children's worship bulletins, one for ages 7 and up, one for ages 3 and up. Those are in the windowsill to my right. They're also under that info tab there on the website. And then also our prayer list is there. And so be sure to encourage you to take the time to get that downloaded. And those are on the in the book holders out here on the tables across from the office if you need one of those paper copies. But we just want to welcome you this morning, especially if you're one of our guests, a first-time guest. We especially want to make sure you get one of our gift bags at the fronts of the stage here or at the doors as you leave. They've got some things in it that we want to just give to you, some information about our church, some other things in it to just say thank you for being here with us this morning. And so be sure you get one of those. If you brought somebody with you, make sure that they get one also. But welcome to everybody. Looking forward to the worship service this morning. Brother Mike, if you'll come and lead us.
Morning all. Would you rise and sing, "Open My Eyes That I May See"? Hymn 502. Thank you very much.
Let me go warm through there.
Amen. Open our eyes, Lord. You'll notice in your bulletins we're at our missionary of the moment time in our order of service. I want to encourage you to read the story there of our missionaries of the week, Osvaldo and Vanessa Lerma. They are serving in Laredo, Texas, ministering to and reaching out to minister through our Send Relief group from our Southern Baptist Convention to those who are refugees there who are entering in from Mexico, as well as those who are being sometimes sent back. But those who are asylum seekers especially are the ones that they are ministering to. So we want to remember them in our prayers. We want to remember our Moldova missionaries. They're within 20 days of coming back to the United States for a few months. You'll see their request there in your prayer guide there also. And then in your Annie Armstrong Easter offering prayer guide, if you get one of these, there are some still around in the windowsills as well as at the doors as you leave this morning, or you can get up during any time you want to pick one up. It's got 8 days worth of prayer things that you need to be praying for. You can use this not just for this past week of the week of prayer for North American missions, but you can use this all throughout the month, and we encourage you to do that. Today's prayer request is the other side, bar none, Wyoming. So I'd encourage you to take the time to read that also and to pray about giving to the Annie Armstrong Easter offering. But we wanted to share a video with you this morning about the work that is going on in North America. So listen to some of our missionaries and the work they're doing.
When we first came, we knew that God was calling us to church planting.
But God called us to a place where there was nothing happening. And along the way, yeah. I didn't see all of those little bitty details that God was doing. I couldn't make the whole story. We live in Langley, BC, British Columbia in Canada.
People from all over the world who have come to Vancouver move out to Langley.
Which is one of the reasons why we fit in so well. I grew up in South Korea, I grew up in Japan.
I grew up in Guinea, which is a country in West Africa.
So many people from different parts of the world come here with that same story.
So growing up overseas, we were able to connect with them. All the young families are moving out here. And we had kids. We had no idea how many people we were going to meet, because we met at the playground. Now we have ministry teams, we have community groups meeting in homes, and we've got lay people leading the Bible studies. So people are participating, people are a part of this church, and we see that God has done what he said he would.
And part of that was through the churches that gave to the Annie Armstrong Easter.
It's all like, of it.
I had nothing. I knew no one.
Yeah.
Except for, like, to find out later that there's all these churches that are giving to the Annie Armstrong to make me being here physically possible. Like, I can be there because of them. And they don't even know me.
So when we came, we weren't alone. It's only been the sovereign unfolding plan of God.
Yeah. This is the story that God planned out for us all.
And if you want to read more of their story, you'll find it in the prayer guide on day five, the Rowlands serving there, connecting the dots in Langley, British Columbia. So we want to remember all of these needs in our prayers and pray about what God would have you to give towards the Annie Armstrong Easter offering. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this service this morning. Thank you. And we especially ask, Lord, that you would indeed open our hearts and open our eyes, Lord, to hear your voice speaking to us. Lord, we come before you and ask for you to forgive us of all of our sins, to cleanse us of all of our unrighteousness. Hear our prayers as we especially pray on behalf of our missionaries, the Lermas, our missionaries from Moldova who are getting ready to come home, as well as the missionaries serving in British Columbia in Langley there, the Rowlands. Lord, we pray that you'll be with them, as well as many other missionaries that we support each and every Sunday through our tithes and offerings, but especially through this special offering of the Annie Armstrong Easter offering, supporting those missionaries across North America. So bless them, Lord. Provide for their every need. Bless us, Lord, that we might give towards that work. And I pray that you would impress upon our hearts what you would have us to give, knowing that we can be involved in missions work and sharing the gospel in places many of us would maybe never be able to go to. And we just pray, God, that you will help us to remember these individuals in our prayers. knowing, God, that you are all powerful, you are all capable. We pray for you to place a hedge of protection about them. We ask for you to provide for their needs, and we ask, Lord, for you to strengthen the ministries and the works that they are doing in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, your blessings again on this service as we come sometimes with heavy burdens, maybe struggles and difficulties that we're going through. Lord, I pray that we will come and lay those at the foot of the cross. We will hear from you in the word and song, as well as in the word in scripture. And Father, I pray that you will encourage us, that we would leave this morning knowing that we have been in your presence. In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen and amen. Let me encourage you, if you do want to do that giving, you can do it online at highlandbaptistchurch.com. Go to the far right hand side, click that give online tab. Or you can do your regular online giving there. As you click the drop down, you'll also notice underneath the drop down the Annie Armstrong Easter offering for North American Missions. Again, these offering envelopes are in the pews in front of you. These are in the windowsills and down here at the front if you want to grab one of those to give for that special offering. We do want to encourage you. We do still need volunteers. We want to continue pleading for volunteers. We need volunteers for Vacation Bible School. And I know we've got a Vacation Bible School training meeting coming up. I think we'll hear some about that as we get closer. We've also got the need for those to help with the sound and the video stuff in the balcony there. If you can help us with that, we'd love to get you trained on some of those things to help us in those areas. And then also helping on Fridays. We've got a sign-up sheet out here in the hallway across, next to the offices. To help with the food share ministry as we open up the ministry center for people to use our restrooms, to talk with them, to give them some water, things that they might need in the time that they're waiting on the food share program. And then don't forget, we're celebrating our 75th anniversary of our church this year. Thank you to those who've already signed up on different teams that maybe you want to help us with. We do need you to help with some of those planning teams, the media team, the decorations team, first impressions, music, publicity, history, hospitality, kitchen, invitation and registration team, the nursery, children's, youth ministry. And so encourage you, if you can and would like to help us, be sure to sign up on one of those forms. You can sign up on multiples if you want to be on a couple of different things there that maybe interest you in helping us get preparations. We've already got lots of things that are rolling towards our first service, and we'll have some information that'll be coming out very soon of save the date for those specific services that we're going to do to emphasize that 75th anniversary celebration throughout the year, culminating with the final one that'll be at the end of September. So encourage you to participate in any way that you can. If you're thinking about joining, this would be a great Sunday to do it. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, this would be a great Sunday to get that settled in your heart and in your life also. So Brother Mike, if you'll come.
Join us in your hymnals with as we sing 493, or the words on the wall. Onward, Christian soldiers. Thank you.
Amen. Our choir is going to be singing this morning a special song. If you know the words to it, we highly encourage you to join with us in singing this song.
Been walking the same old road for miles and miles. If you've been hearing the same old voice tell the same old lies. If you're trying to feel the same old holes inside, there's a better life. There's a better life.
You got me.
If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison-shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. We've all searched for the light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. We've all run to things we know that just ain't right. There's a better life.
There's a better life.
There's a better life.
You got pain. He's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker.
If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaker. Savior, if you got chains, he's a chain breaker. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify.
Somebody testify.
If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify, testify.
If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify.
If you've got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. A prison shaking savior. If you've got chains, he's a chain breaker.
If you've got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a pain taker.
If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you've got chains, if you need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you've got chains, he's a chain breaker.
Children's church has already begun. No, they'll be collecting over here on the piano side as we sing our next hymn. And please stand with us as we sing 329, Grace Greater Than Our Sin, 329.
Grace that exceeds our sin and our need.
Amen. Are you awake this morning, even though you lost that hour last night? I'll be glad when they get it settled and it just stays on one and you don't have to keep flipping back and forth. All right, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17 through verse 20. I know your bulletin says 18 through 20, but we actually are picking up 17 because there's one more piece of the armor. It's one of our defensive weapons that we have to use, or one of the offensive weapons, if you will, to be using in the battle. Life is a war. And we've seen that already as Paul has laid out for us. There's a battle that's going on in marriages. There's a battle that's going on in families. There's a battle that's going on in the workplace. There's a battle that's going on even in the church amongst believers, and so, or at least professed believers. And so I want to bring your attention this morning to the last section, which I thought I'd get through in one message. I know I won't, so we're already going to have to push some of our sermons back, Brother Mike, in what I've already given to you. For next Sunday. This morning, we're looking at our weapons, and there's actually two that we're going to be looking at, one this morning and one next week. So Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to read the entirety of verse 17 down through verse 20. Would you stand as we read God's word in honor of his word? So Paul tells us here, speaking about the spiritual armor, he told us as we read last time, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word this morning. And we just pray, Heavenly Father, that your word will go forth and not return void. May your word go forth and be powerful, alive, as we're going to see, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing our hearts, showing us, Lord, our sin, bringing us to the place of confession. And then in that process also, Lord, renewing us in our hearts and our minds, making us new creatures in Christ Jesus. So bless this word this morning. And I pray, God, that it'll be beneficial to those who are Christians, to help them, Lord, in the battles they're facing every day in this life, in this world. But more importantly, I pray that it'll help those, Lord, who don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, because, Lord, they are losing the battle. They are losing the war and will ultimately lose the war if they don't know Christ and begin with that part. So, Father, I pray that this morning you will speak to their hearts also. Bless this word. Bless our time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You be seated. You know, as we've said in each one of these sections that we've been looking at about the spiritual armor, if you're a Christian, then you are in a battle. And this battle is for the joy of your heart. It is for the happiness in your marriage. It's for the welfare of your children. It's for the security of your home. It's for the influence of your life. Every one of us here are involved in a spiritual warfare, even those who aren't yet Christians. But the problem is, for many of us who are Christians, we don't even realize it. We've mentioned that before, and the enemy is attacking us every day, and God has given us everything we need in this spiritual armor to be able to stand against the devil, and yet so often, for many of us as Christians, we don't realize it. The enemy is attacking us every day. God has given us that armor to repulse the most powerful missiles, the strongest bombs, the mightiest torpedoes that Satan himself could fire at us. It's no wonder that James says in his book, James chapter 4 and verse 7, he says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." You know, there's not a single verse in the Bible that tells us as believers that we're to run from the devil. The Bible says we're to flee temptation. The Bible says we're to flee sin. But the Bible never tells us that we're to flee the devil. In fact, the Bible tells us over and over that we are to stand against our enemy. We're to resist the devil. And when we do resist the devil, the Scripture promises he will flee from us. So how do you do that? Because the Bible never teaches us that it's hard to live the Christian life. It teaches us that it's impossible for you to live the Christian life in and of yourself. And that's the whole point of being saved, because once you got saved, God gives you the power within you to live the Christian life. It ought not to come from your own strength. In fact, if it is, it's coming from the wrong place. So look, if we could live up to what God wanted us to be on our own, what would we need God for if we could do that on our own? If we could live the Christian life under our own power, we wouldn't need God's power. But the fact is that when you give your heart to Jesus Christ, He fills you with His Spirit. He gives you His power, and it's only through that power, through His power, it's in that power, by that power, and with that power, that you're able to live the life that God wants you to live. So let me give you some good news this morning and some bad news this morning. The bad news is that you cannot win this war in your own power. The good news is you don't have to. Because this war, this spiritual war, it isn't supposed to be fought in your power. In fact, as a matter of fact, you can't fight Satan in your power, and that's part of the problem that many of us sometimes as Christians have today. All too often, most Christians who even try to put up a fight with Satan do it in the power of the flesh. And they do it in the might of their own strength. In other words, they try to outfox, they try to outsmart, they try to outmaneuver the devil. And the fact of the matter is, you cannot outsmart a serpent. You cannot outfox the lion. You can't even outfight him. You can only meet Satan and defeat Satan in the power of God. So over the last several weeks, what we have seen is our adversary. We need to know who the enemy is. The enemy is not your husband, it's not your wife. The enemy is not your children, it's not your parents. The enemy is not your boss at work, it's not the employees you have at work. The enemy is not somebody else. There is a spiritual battle that we are fighting, and that enemy is Satan. And he wants to cause division and divisiveness even between us as believers, because if he does that, then he keeps us from doing what God wants us to do. He keeps us from being what God wants us to be. So we need to know who our enemy is. You see that in verse 10 through verse 13. We also talked about our armor in verse 13 through verse 17. And we talked about the belt of truth, which is against the darts of deception. We talked about the breastplate of righteousness, which is against the darts of disapproval. We talked about the gospel of peace. We talked about the shoes the preparation of the feet to go and share the gospel, which repel the darts of dissension. We talked about the shield of faith that are for the darts of doubt. We talked about the helmet of salvation last week, which repels the darts of discouragement. And so we had that picture, that image of our armor there, and you see that on the screen there. Well, there's one part that you see that is on the screen, and another part that is not listed in that picture. We see our attack. We see our weapons in verse 18 or verse 17 down through verse 20. And verse 17 is where we're going to spend our time this morning, looking at the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit. So let's go back and read verse 17 again, just that last part of verse 17 that deals with this part that we're looking at here. He says, "And the sword of the Spirit," so he's listed all these different aspects of our armor, and then he says, "You also have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." So the sword of the Spirit is for the darts of disbelief. You know, the weapon, one of the weapons that we have, it says here, is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, remember those first five parts of the spiritual armor are for our defense against Satan. This weapon is for our defeat of Satan. The first five are defensive. The second two that we're going to see are offensive. We're told to take the sword of the Spirit and to go on the attack. Now, you saw that image there of the armor there, the soldier, the Roman soldier. The Roman soldier would have a short sword, about 14 inches long, that was sharp at the end and on both sides. It cut both ways. And this sword that we have, spiritually, that Paul tells us here, is the Word of God. And so in getting to know more about this sword of the Spirit, which he tells us is the Word of God, you can see many other places throughout the Scripture that talks about this sword. In fact, this passage reminds us of Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 that says, "For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." So think about this. We have a defense for every weapon that the enemy has, but Satan has no defense for the one weapon, or for this weapon that we have. He doesn't have it for the second one we're going to look at either. He has no defense against this weapon. You see, when we put on that armor of God, we can defend ourselves against every attack of Satan. But when we take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, he cannot defend himself against us. Because think about that. When how did Jesus defeat the devil when he was tempted in the wilderness? He only used one weapon. You remember what he said over and over? "It is written." Every time when the devil came to him with a temptation. All too often, as believers, we never use our sword because we don't know it. We don't know God's Word. Sometimes you don't have God's Word with you. You're driving down the road. You can't just open up God's Word while you're driving down the road. If you do, you're probably going to wind up in an accident. You could be listening to it, but you couldn't open it and read it. And so there may be temptations that come across your heart, your mind, while you're driving or doing other things that maybe you don't have the physical Word of God with you. That's why you need the Word of God in your heart and in your mind to be able to defeat the enemy. And so we see here that we all too often don't use our sword because we don't know it. We don't know the Word of God. Understand that a closed Bible is not any better than no Bible at all. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "For the Word of God." The Word of God. It's an interesting combination between the Word of God and faith. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 tells us, "So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ." So understand, when you hear the Word of God, when you hear the Word of Christ, and you receive it with faith, the more of the Word of God that you receive, the more faith you have. You know, many people ask me all the time, "Well, preacher, how do I build my faith up? How do I get more faith? I want to have more faith to be a more faithful person following the Lord." This is the way you get it. You fill your heart, you fill your mind with the Word of God. The more that you have the Word of God in your heart and in your mind, the less room there is for the enemy to come in. Because that's the places we talked about last week that he's trying to attack. He's trying to attack the heart, he's trying to attack the mind. Because if he can get a stronghold in either one of those, he's got a foothold in those, he can gain that stronghold in your life. So there's that connection there with the Word of God and the faith of God. The Word of God is the antidote to unbelief. So when you're facing obstacles in your life and you just don't feel like you have the strength to believe that God is going to take care of this situation, that's where you need to be getting back into the Word of God. The Word of God is the way for us to deal with our doubts, is for us to get into the Word of God. So when you read the Bible, you'll find that the Bible is compared to a lot of different things. Sometimes in the Bible, it's compared to a seed. that's planted in the ground. Remember, Jesus told the parable about the sower going forth to sow seed. He said the seed is the word of God planted in the human heart. It can bring forth a crop, and there's beauty and fruitfulness. It can help you to grow in your walk with the Lord. So the word of God, the seed of the word, can change a person's heart. Sometimes the Bible is compared to fire in the Bible. Jeremiah said, is not your word like a fire? Jeremiah says that God's word consumes. God's word burns. God's word gets into your heart. It gets a hold of you, and it burns like a fire within you, and you just can't help but to let it out. Sometimes the Bible is described as a hammer. Jeremiah also said, is not your word like a hammer that crushes the rock in pieces? So God's word crushes our excuses. God's word crushes our hard hearts and breaks up the hardness of our heart. The word of God is like a hammer. But in this passage in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17, Paul gives us that picture, another picture here for the word, when he compares God's word to a sword. And then the writer of Hebrews says that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. In Revelation chapter 19 and verse 15, when you read about the last days, when Jesus comes again and he does battle with the nations, the Bible says that he will consume them with a sharp sword out of his mouth. There won't be much fighting. Jesus is going to take care of it with the sword of the Spirit. And so when Paul says here that the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, he's talking about the Bible. Hebrews 4:12 also tells us three other important things that I want us to see this morning about the word of God. So if you have your Bibles, turn over there to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. The first thing I want you to see in Hebrews 4 and verse 12 is that it's a living book. It's a living book. Notice what he says in verse 12, for the word of God is living. Some versions use the word quick. That just means it's made alive. The Bible is better than any physical sword. It's a living, because it's a living book. It's continually alive. And the tense of the verb there, when it says that the word of God is living, is a verb that is really a participle. It means the word of God is continuously alive. That means its continuity, the Bible continues to live. Charles Spurgeon once said this. He said, cut this book into 1,000 pieces and every piece would grow and live, because it's a living book. It's continuously alive. The word of God is eternally alive. In fact, Jesus said this about the word of God in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 35. He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. So it's a living book. It's the eternal word of God. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. It's alive contemporarily, and we mean by that that it's up to date in every age. So even though this Bible is older than we are, it is relevant to us today. In fact, Hebrews chapter 3 tells us today, if you hear his word, says the Holy Spirit. Today, here's a book that's 1,000 years old, but it hits you right where you live today. It's just like somebody took this and wrote your life story this morning in this book. It is continuously alive. It's alive in its contents, because the Bible is able to give life. There is life in the word of God. When you open up the Bible, what do you come face to face with? You come face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. He steps off the pages into our world, steps off the pages of the word and into our church, steps off the pages and into our families. This book, the Bible, is a living book because of the living person of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, the Gospel of John begins and says in John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. He's not talking specifically about this written word, although that's included in that. He's saying in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, because the Word is Jesus. Jesus is the fulfillment of this word and the completion of this word and the continuing of this word. And so it is a book that is alive. It's also an energizing book. It's powerful. If you look back at that passage in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the Word of God is living and active or powerful. The Word of God is effective. In other words, there's power in it. In fact, when you look at that word for power there in the Greek, it's where we get our word energize in the English from. It's two Greek words, the word ergo, which means to work, and then you put a little prefix in the front of it, en, which means to work. It makes the word mean to work in then. And so energize means to put power in. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 says, "And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you, believers." It's a powerful book. It's an energetic book. This book has power to convert the soul. Psalm chapter 19 and verse 7 says that the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul or converting the soul, making alive the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. There's no other book that can do that. You can pick up any novel that you wanted to off the bookstore shelf, and you can read that book, and that book will not change you like the Word of God will change your heart and change your life. No other book can do that. You can get saved under the preaching of the Word of God, and only under the preaching of the Word of God. You don't get that from looking at the encyclopedia. You don't get that from looking at your favorite novel. You don't get that from reading the newspaper. You get it from reading the Word of God. God loves you, and God sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for your sins. And if you repent of your sins and receive Jesus as your Savior, the Bible tells us you will be saved and you will go to heaven when you die. This is the only book that will do that. It has the power to convert the soul. But this Bible, this sword, also has the power to comfort the heart. Psalm 119, verse 50. Great book, great psalm there, Psalm 119. Long psalm, but it's all about the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 50 says this, "This is my comfort in my affliction, that your promises," where are His promises? In His Word. "Your promises give me life." Think about that for just a moment. How many times have people with a heavy heart gone to their Bible and found comfort? It happens over and over again. You have a loved one who dies. You're in anguish. You're in sorrow. And you read verses like in the scripture in John chapter 14 and verse 1 through verse 3 that says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." He says, "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." The Word of God can bring comfort and does many times over to grieving hearts. It brings comfort, the comfort of God. So the Bible has the power to bring comfort, but it also has the power to cleanse a life. There's cleansing power in the Word of God. Jesus said in John chapter 15 and verse 3, He said, "Already you are clean because of the Word that I have spoken to you." In John 17 and verse 17, He says in His prayer there, He's praying to the Father for His disciples, for His followers, and even to for us. He says in John 17:17, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth." So when you see all of that, you see the encouragement, the comfort that comes from the Word of God. You see the cleansing that comes from the Word of God. In Ephesians chapter 5, it says about the church that he might cleanse her. Remember, we read this back when we were talking about the marriage relationship, and he uses the church to illustrate that. He says that he might cleanse her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the Word. There's something about the Word of God, something about the Bible that has the power to clean up your life from the sin of this world that leaves a stain on your life. Again, back to Psalm 119. Psalm 119 verse 9 says this: how can a young man keep his way pure? Young people, you have that question sometimes. How can you keep your life pure? A young man asking, how can a young man keep his way pure? How? By guarding it according to your word. You need to be in God's word. So this spiritual sword is alive. It's a living book. It has the power to make those who are dead without Christ alive in Christ. Hebrews 4:12 also says, though, that the Bible, that the Word of God, is a penetrating book. In fact, notice how he describes it. He says it is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and the spirit of joints and marrow. So he's saying here that this Bible is piercing, it's penetrating. Another contrast that we see is that a physical sword, when you take a physical sword and you use that in battle, it starts from the outside in. It starts on the outside and works its way in. But the spiritual sword, the Word of God, starts on the inside and works its way out. Peter was preaching the Word of God, you remember, on the day of Pentecost. And on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 and verse 36 and verse 37, the scripture says, here's what he said: let all the house of Israel, therefore, know for certain that God has made him, talking about Jesus, has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. So here's Peter, who's preaching a message to these thousands of people that are gathered there to hear what he has to say on this day of Pentecost, and he shares with them, the one you crucified is the Son of the living God. He sent him to be your Lord and Christ. And then the Bible says this in verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were cut to their heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? The Bible says they were so pricked in their hearts, so penetrated in their hearts, so pierced in their hearts, that day over 3,000 men got saved in that one day. See, this Bible is a penetrating book. It cuts us on the inside. Somebody says, well, preacher, we're living in a different world today. People don't believe the Bible. Understand this, it doesn't matter whether you believe in the Bible or not. What if somebody says, I don't believe in swords? I mean, really? If you had a physical sword here and people were saying, I don't believe in the sword, really? It doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. That sword can do damage to you. It can do all these things that we've talked about. It doesn't matter whether people believe the Bible or not. There is power in the Word of God. It's the sword of the Spirit, and it will do the job. All you have to do is to just keep using it. Just keep giving out the Word of God and just keep putting in the Word of God. So when the writer of Hebrews says that it is piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, that means that the Bible, the sword of the Spirit, gets down into your heart, into the places of your life where nothing else can go. It gets down into your soul and spirit. It gets down into the joints. The joints are where the hinges of your body are. It gets down into the marrow, the part that's in the middle of the bone part there. It gets down into the marrow where the heart of the bones are. And so it gets to the hinges and the heart of your life. That's why we need to keep studying the Word of God every day. Every day we need to let God take that scalpel of the Word of God and begin to do surgery on us. We need to let him do the work on our hearts. Because this Bible, this Word of God, explores us. The Bible gets under your skin. That's why some people can't take it. They can't take it because it gets down deep into their heart. It explores their life. Every day, we need to let the Bible explore our life, get out the things, show us the things that are wrong there. Not only that, it says, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. So it not only explores our life, it examines our life. The word discerning there is an interesting word. It's where we get our word in the English for critic. The Bible's a critic of your thoughts and your intents of your heart. So understand that. It all comes down to your heart. I mean, a lot of people, in fact, Jesus said that there's a lot of people who are going to say in the last days, in the final judgment, Lord, Lord. And Jesus is going to say, depart from me. I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. The Bible is a critic of the thoughts and the intents of the heart because it all comes down to the heart. That's why Jesus said, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Jesus said that it's from the heart that things come. It's out of the heart that evil thoughts come. And so the Bible gets down in there, and the Bible begins to examine our thoughts. Did you know that God knows exactly what you're thinking? And you know, sometimes we do good things, but we do it with the wrong motive. We do it for the wrong reason. The Bible gets down in there and examines your thoughts. God knows what you're thinking. He knows what you're thinking. He examines your thoughts, but it goes even deeper than that. He says the thoughts and the intentions. He not only knows what you're thinking, He knows the process of logic and reasoning that's brought you to your thoughts. You see, the Word of God explores your life, it examines your life, and it exposes your life. Because look at what else the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13, the verse right after this. He says, "And no creature is hidden from His sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account." It's saying that God sees you and knows all about you. The things that we think were in the darkness and that you thought that nobody knew, God did. God knew it. God saw it. You're not hidden from His sight. All things are laid bare. In the presence of God, there is nothing that you can hide behind. There is nothing that you can clothe yourself in to hide behind. There you are. You and God. But that's not all. He said all things are naked, open, exposed. Notice that last part of verse 13 again. They're naked and exposed to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. Now that word exposed or opened in some versions is a medical word. It's where we get our English word tracheotomy from. What is a tracheotomy? Tracheotomy is where you put a hole in the trachea so you can breathe when there's no other way to get breath. It's the word for throat. It was used of wrestlers, this word was. It was used of wrestlers who would grab their opponent by the throat. It was also used when somebody stood before a king. You ever notice that when somebody's standing before a judge or a king or something, the tendency is always to lower your head. This is saying that when you stand before God, this Word of God exposes you and you can't look away because the sword of the Spirit is right under your neck and you have to face God. It's lifting your eyes, keeping them focused on Him. We ought to use the sword on ourselves. We use the sword on sinners to bring them to salvation. We ought to use the sword on Satan. Go back to what Jesus did in His temptations from Satan. When Satan came to tempt Jesus in the wilderness, the devil said, "If you're the Son of God, take these stones, turn them into bread." And Jesus picks up His sword and says, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." And swish, the devil walked away bruised and bitter. A little bit, he comes back again and he says, "If you're the Son of God, then throw yourself down from this temple and everybody will worship you." Jesus picked up the sword and said, "It is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Slash. And the devil rode away bloody and bewildered. Finally, the devil got all of his heavy artillery, came running back one more time to Jesus. And he said to him, you remember, if you are the Son of God, fall down and worship me, and I will give you the kingdoms of this world. And the Lord Jesus held that sword of the word, the sword of the Spirit, high. And he said, it is written, you shall love the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Slash. And the devil rolled away beaten and bloody. Let me leave you with this word from the Word of God, Psalm 149 and verse 6. Let the high praises of God be in their throats and two-edged swords in their hands. Get the Word of God in your hand, get it in your head, get it in your heart, so that you can fight against the enemy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God that tells us this morning how we can be saved. That if we believe in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, we confess with our mouth Jesus as Lord and Savior, we will be saved. Father, it's not only with the mouth that we make a profession, it's to be in our hearts. And so, Father, I pray that if there are any who are here this morning who that's where they are, maybe they have been saying with their lips, I'm a Christian, I love Jesus, but Lord, there's been nothing in their lives to show that. In fact, you've told us in your words that all men shall know that we are your disciples if we have love one for another. Father, I pray that we would show this world through our actions, through our lives, not just the words, that we know Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Father, I pray this morning that we would realize that our salvation is not based on our feelings, but it's based on the facts of the Word of God. Lord, I pray there would be those who would call out to you this morning to trust in Jesus, to ask God for forgiveness of their sins, to repent of those sins, and to come to receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. But Father, there are many of us who are here this morning as believers. Lord, we've been losing the battles in our marriage, in our families, in our workplace, in the community, because we've not been in your word. We've not been able to stand against the enemy because we don't know your word. We're not spending time studying it, getting it into our heads, getting it into our hearts. And Father, I pray this morning that we would be renewed in our commitment to you, that we would come confessing our sinfulness, Lord, asking you to forgive us, to wash us with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, that you would set us on that path of righteousness to follow you each and every day. Help us to take up the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, and not just to have it in the head, but to have it in the heart, that it comes out in our actions. Father, have your way and your will in this invitation. Whatever decisions need to be made, Lord, may you be glorified and honored in them this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. As we stand, as we sing our hymn of invitation, number 316, the Lord may be calling you to come for church membership, for salvation, just to simply pray, whatever decision, would you come? Brother Mike, if you'll come and lead us. be seated for just a moment. Brother Jimmy's going to come and share a few announcements and some others.
Good morning, church. One thing real quick. Hey, if you're helping out with the cruise in team, if you would meet me over the small office room over there, I forgot what it's called, but a small conference room, just briefly after the service. And so just a couple things I want to quickly update y'all on that. And also don't forget our VBS meeting end of the month. And so again, we still have spots that still need to be filled. One of those is helping lead with the bigger kids' music. And so if you're interested in that, please let myself or Brittany know, as well as helping out with our kickoff coming up as well. So thank y'all.
Good morning. I just want to echo what Pastor Jim said at the beginning of our service today. In front of you, you will find our prayer guides for the week of prayer for our North American Mission Board. I urge you to just reach out in front of you, grab one. The stories are so inspiring, and I pray that you would take one, that you would read the stories, and let God speak to your heart how we can share the gospel through North America. On a second note, we can do missions right here. We really need some help on Friday mornings. It's from 9 a.m., around 9-ish, to 11:30. We have a multitude of people that use our parking lot. And if you could spare a couple of hours on Friday morning, please sign up on the sign-up sheet or call Amy in the morning and let her know that you're going to let God use you. It would be a blessing to your heart. We thank you.
Just a couple of more announcements. If you would like to help us in some way with our flag project that we do through the year, 4th of July and different times when we put the flags up, we're going to be doing a little bit of work through the week, in the weeks coming. We need just a couple of guys of a morning or afternoon one to finish up our project we're working on. But if you'd be interested in doing that, meet me here at the piano right after service. Just 5 minutes, I'd like to see just how many people we need. I need probably about 5 people is about what I need for us to finish up this project we're working on. Look at your announcements that's in your bulletin here, but just remember the Deacons meeting day at 4 o'clock. Our prime timer's on Tuesday at 12 o'clock. Welcome all those to come out. Word of praise that our Duck River Baptist Association went on a mission trip this past week in East Tennessee, and was very productive in their journey there and back. The other things we need to have is be in prayer for the Ritchie family, and the service for Nancy Ritchie will be on March 15th at 9 and service at 11, so visitation will be 9 to 11 at Moore Courtner Funeral Home in Winchester. Also be in prayer for Mary Lee Strangfield, Mike's mom, is she's recovering from some hip surgery, and she's in rehab at the Lynchburg Nursing Home. Be in prayer for Mike as he takes care of his mom and dad as they're struggling through some issues now. So if not any other announcements, we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Okay. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the opportunity that you've given us to come in your house and listen to your word. Thank you, Father, for the love, grace, and mercy that you show us daily. Father, I just pray that we take the opportunities this week to reach out to people and be a witness to you, dear Lord, to spread the gospel. And I pray that we pray for each other this week for the troubles that a lot of families are going through and stuff, that we just look to you, Father, be our guiding light, and have the faith in you that you may put your healing hands upon us. Please forgive us where we have fallen short in serving you. In Jesus' name, amen.